You are Locked On Wizards, your daily Washington Wizards podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Wizards podcast. My name is Ben Standing. I am the host of this here podcast. We are talking to you guys on Monday morning, August 28th. Hope everybody had a great weekend. The last one before we get to Labor Day, right? Not sure how that happened, but I probably make this claim every single year right around this time because it always does seem like the summer does fly by for sure. Hope everybody's getting by without too much going on in the Wizards world. And by too much, I mean nothing. The point of this here podcast will be to do a little bit of roundup of a couple topics that have been out there. One, of course, one that's not directly Wizards, but affects the Wizards. Specifically the Kyrie Irving trade with the Celtics and Cavaliers, sort of the weirdness that's going on now with the Isaiah Thomas hip injury situation, what might happen there. We also have the completely irrelevant but fun topic of the NBA 2K all-time Wizards Bullets team that got put out recently and why there were some omissions on the list and who should be on said list and so on. And then lastly, I was out the other day at Markieff Morris's backpack giveaway for kids, and he had a friend there with him, that friend Thomas Robinson, NBA player, D.C. native, and after we spoke to Markieff Morris, I caught up with Thomas Robinson about his situation. I figured I'd play that for you guys here as well. You, of course, can find all of our podcasts on iTunes or anywhere else you do your podcast. If you're on iTunes, please subscribe, join the podcast. That way you won't miss anything. Well, once we get back closer to training camp and into the season, we're back to 5 days a week mode. Right now, we're on a little bit of the summer hiatus going on here for sure. And of course, you want to follow me on Twitter at Ben Standing, and the podcast is at Locked On Wizards. And let's just start here with the Cavaliers and Cleveland. I did a deep dive on this, was it last week when this thing happened, with our friend Todd Divers from the Washington Times, where we talked about all the things that this deal meant for the Cavaliers, for the Celtics, and also for the Wizards. Now, for those of you who maybe have been out of the loop in the news for the last couple of days, the basic gist is that the Isaiah Thomas hip injury concern is apparently in Cleveland's mind interesting enough that they have yet to make the deal official on their end. They haven't said that Isaiah Thomas failed a physical, but there's been reports that they're concerned about it and want to revisit the trade with the Celtics. Now, as a basic reminder, the deal went down like this. The Cavaliers traded Kyrie Irving, who had said he wanted out. They kind of had no choice but to get rid of him one way or the other. Traded him to Boston. They get back Isaiah Thomas, fifth in the MVP voting last season. Jay Crowder, a rugged forward and a real key contributor, I think, for basically any kind of winning team. Ante Zizic, a young big man. Who knows what he'll be, but somebody who seems to have some promise. And Brooklyn's 2018 first-round pick that is sort of the big chip that Boston's been sort of holding for a bit now, that almost is assuredly a lottery pick. If we had to project, probably say top five and, maybe even the number one overall pick to be determined there. Now, Cleveland apparently wants more. Apparently, they're trying to get more out of Boston because the fear is that, or the sense is that Isaiah Thomas's hip injury, which, if you recall, ironically enough, I technically broke the news on, sort of, kind of, right before game 3, I tweeted something out about Isaiah Thomas is dealing with a hip injury, and things sort of blew up from there. It wasn't until a couple games later that his hip injury became a big story, and then once Boston got to the Eastern Conference Finals, he basically missed the bulk of that series, or all of that series, or most of it, because of that hip injury, which is now lingering and lingering into the offseason. In any event, that's a true story, by the way. I wouldn't lie to you guys. So the question is, what is Cleveland doing? Are they legitimately saying, hey, man, we didn't really realize how bad this thing was? And from what I can tell, Boston, you know, I believe the way it went down, something like this. Danny Ainge said in a press conference after the trade went down that Boston was going to look at that hip later and make some determinations about what was going on. So it's possible, I guess, that things are worse than the Celtics thought, and therefore wasn't a matter of them trying to sell a bill of goods, trying to sell a bill of goods or whatever you want to say. To try to give Cleveland the raw end of the deal, they just may not have realized. On the other hand, Cleveland, presumably didn't have their head buried in the sand, that they knew that there was a risk going on here with Isaiah Thomas' situation. You know, for a 5'9 guard who gets by on quickness, his hip, it was kind of a big deal. Let's also not forget this is Isaiah Thomas going into a contract year in which, you know, he's presumably going to want something in the neighborhood of a max deal. So anyway, so what is really going on here? Is Cleveland legitimately concerned that Isaiah Thomas won't be able to play well, play effectively, play long? Or is it some sort of a shakedown? Are they trying to just get more out of Boston than what was already, I think, a pretty nice haul considering the position that they were in? Kyrie Irving said, I want out. They didn't have tons of leverage. And yet, as I said at the time, I think Cleveland made out very nicely in this trade. The one caveat I did have was Isaiah Thomas's hip injury. But, I think the deal in and of itself for the 2017-18 season solidified Cleveland's position as the number one, as the team to beat in the East. Not that they wasn't already, but I'm saying I think it makes it even stronger, primarily because Crowder gives them another piece on the bench that they didn't have. And Isaiah Thomas, when healthy, you know, right now at this point, is Kyrie Irving's match offensively. You know, Kyrie Irving's a more creative shot maker. He's younger, yada, yada, yada. But Isaiah Thomas is, you just look at basic stats there, they're very comparable for sure. So it'll be interesting to see where this all goes. I was watching some people up in Boston on a CSN New England video, and Chris Mannix was part of it, where they were saying, look, from what they're hearing, the Celtics are no way are giving up more than what they've already have, other than maybe a second-round pick just for sport. But they're not giving up first-round picks. There's been reports of that Cleveland wants Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown. I mean, that would seem insane. But what's interesting about this on some level is both teams are kind of in a bind, particularly Boston. I don't know how Boston walks back on this trade. If there really is a problem, right, I don't see how Boston can just give back up, go back to where things were, take Isaiah Thomas back into the fold, and you know, maybe in Jay Crowder as well, and pretend like nothing happened. Cleveland will still get rid of Kyrie Irving, right? I mean, that's going to happen. I mean, most people thought that Phoenix was the team with the best chance to get Kyrie Irving for a package, something in the neighborhood of Eric Bledsoe and some other assets, maybe the number four overall pick Josh Jackson. Maybe if that deal gets rescinded, Phoenix, who apparently wouldn't include Jackson in any trades, sees, hey, well, Boston was willing to give up a lot. Maybe giving up that for Kyrie Irving isn't such a bad move. We'll see. Phoenix has some other young pieces. If Josh Jackson is not a go, but I don't see how Boston walks away from this. It just seems complicated if you bring Isaiah Thomas back. I'm not saying that, like, you know, they all hate each other and fences can't be mended, but you know, there was some question about Isaiah Thomas's focus going into this season on some level with regards to his contract. I wrote about this on FanRag Sports. I did a piece on how much better the Celtics, you know, had the Celtics gotten that much better than the Wizards or in general following their moves. That was at the point just getting Gordon Hayward and drafting Jason Tatum third overall. We will see about that. Now, of course, if you want a deeper dive into all things going on with the Celtics, I would say check out the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Sports Network.
Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM. Talkspace.com/boom. B-O-O-M.
Now, so anyway, we'll see about that. I mean, I don't know when something gets resolved. Does the NBA have to get involved? I'm sort of curious if Cleveland is doing this as a shakedown. I mean, unless Isaiah Thomas's injury is just that much worse than they anticipated, it seems like they knew what was going on going into it. Maybe they're trying to get more. But I think Cleveland was in the tough spot with that Kyrie Irving. He wants out. Everybody knows he wants out. What do we do? Now it feels like Boston's the one in the tight spot. We've traded Isaiah Thomas. We made it clear that we were willing to move away from him, which probably means we're not going to give him a max contract next year, which probably means some tension going on if he comes back. So we don't really want him to come back. How do we avoid that? It's going to be fascinating to see how, in fact, they can avoid that for sure. Okay, now let's go to a different sort of random topic here. The NBA 2K All Wizards team came out. I love the video games. I haven't played one in a bit though. That, you know, the NBA 2K type stuff. I was Mr. Madden Football forever and a day, and all those kinds of things. But, you know, honestly, it's almost like a self-preservation kind of thing. If I get one of those video games, I'm going to be playing it and playing it and playing it, and I'm never going to get anything done. So it's probably better for me personally that I don't have it. That said, I'm fascinated sort of by this idea of the all-time Wizards team. Now, the some of the names, of course, that made the Wizards team, if you haven't heard, you know, pretty obvious. John Wall, sure. Elvin Hayes and Wes Unseld, absolutely. Bradley Beal, sure. Why, you know, that works for me. What the hell? By the way, I should mention that Jake Whittaker with Bullets Forever and I, we did our own all-time Wizards team a few weeks back. We did it in the context of, could the Wizards, an all-time Wizards Bullets team, beat the Golden State Warriors in a head-to-head matchup? And I think we were kind of split, even though, or kind of torn, I guess I should say, because the Wizards simply just don't have that kind of high-end star power the way Golden State's current team does. They just haven't had that over the course of their career, over their history. And that was a fun conversation. You can check that out on iTunes. But you see some of that here as well. You know, Elvin Hayes, based on ratings, Elvin Hayes and Wes Unseld were the highest rated players. And look, they were great players. They helped win the NBA title. So I'm not knocking them. I'm just saying, you know, the Wizards haven't had really, they essentially haven't had a top, you know, 20, 30 guy ultimately. And you know, it's been a bit, even if those, you give praise to those two, it's what's been in between them and John Wall, that's been the confusing part. But then the other confusing part is you look at the rest of the team here. Earl Monroe. Okay. Sure. I mean, but most of us never saw Earl Monroe play with the Baltimore Bullets, but obviously we know Earl the Pearl Monroe, the legend and all that. So that certainly can work. Chris Webber, I mean, look, Webber was only here for a short time. I get it to a degree, but whatever. Rod Strickland, okay, sure. Rod Strickland was a really strong point guard here, and you know, probably the best, depending on the best true facilitating type point guard the Wizards have had until John Wall. Larry Hughes. Larry Hughes was good for a couple years, but I wouldn't put him on an all-time team. Rex Chapman, all kinds of fun, but I don't know. Richard Hamilton, you see that and you remind yourself that Michael Jordan traded him away. George Mirosan, okay, you won't have to find a bigger George Mirosan fan than yours truly, but he only really had two strong NBA seasons, so an all-time team, I don't know. But then you get to Manute Bol, who I mean, again, all kinds of fun. You had Manute Bol at 7'6" with Muggsy Bogues at 5'3" on the same team. You had some iconic pictures with that. But, you know, his, I don't know, an all-time team. I don't know about that. Then you got the last two, and there are two guys currently on the team, Martin Gortat and Otto Porter. Look, both of those guys have been very solid players for the Wizards for the last couple of years. Obviously, Otto Porter just signed the max deal. He's coming off his best NBA season. Gortat's been a double-double rock for the Wizards inside. But again, if you were real, you know, those two guys don't make all-time teams based on what they've done so far for, you know, some classic franchises. But so, of course, that begs the question, well, where's everybody else? No Gilbert Arenas, no Antoine Jameson, no Caron Butler. I mean, to me, those three guys, based on what they did in that recent era, need to be on this team somewhere, right? If you're talking sort of the all-time Wizards, you know, Gus Johnson's, his name is hanging from the rafters at Verizon Center. Walt Bellamy is another legendary-type player who got with the Wizards. You got Phil Chenier. Bobby Dandridge, to me, come on now. Bobby Dandridge has got to be on this team. I don't care about Michael Jordan not being on this team. Nobody would think he's the belongs to Washington. He's Chicago's, so I'm not going to – we'll move on from him. So the explanation in a general sense as to why we're missing some of these people is it's very possible that the individual human being didn't sign their rights or get paid or whatever you want to say by the company, the video company, to be put into the game, and therefore that's why they're not. Gilbert Arenas, I can see being quirky like that. He's the most obvious one. First of all, he was like a video game, so Gilbert Arenas would be so much fun to be in this game for sure. I mean, Antoine Jameson was, you know, the steadiest player from that era, and you know, a guy who, you know, again, the Bullets Wizards have had a weird history simply because they've got a lot of guys who've come in and out for time. What makes the John Wall, Bradley Beal, Otto Porter situation so interesting is it's not just a three max player contract situation, but you know, things can happen. But they're on track to have spent, you know, a good bulk of their career with this franchise. And that's just not something, you know, from the start. And that's just not something that typically has happened. Back in the 80s, you got Moses Malone and Gus Williams and guys like that. But on the back end of their career, you had Jeff Ruland, who, by the way, I would argue, if you're going to just pick some random guys, I would argue Jeff Ruland should be in this game. What a tremendous low post scorer. He was a little baby hook that was unstoppable. But he got traded relatively early on for Moses Malone. You know, Paul Pierce would be all kinds of fun, but he showed up here for just a minute. By the way, Jeff Malone, how is Jeff Malone not on here? I mean, again, he's not an all-time NBA great, but for this franchise, I mean, he's you know, one of the elite scorers in franchise history. I'm sort of stunned that he's not in it, but again, he's also got almost no Q rating, I would venture to guess. Whereas, like, say, a Rex Chapman or a Larry Hughes maybe has a little bit more. But, yeah, I mean, Jeff Malone needs to be in here. So I haven't really, like, thought beyond what I did with Jake that time as to who should be on this team. But that said, if we're going to have some fun with this team, I know this. I wouldn't do this in the first game I played, but maybe in the second game I played. I've got to put George Mirosan and Manute Bol on the court together and see how that works. I think that could be all kinds of fun. The 2 7-foot-6, 7'7" guys out there. You got Manute Bol's got a 3-point shot. I don't know if he developed that more when he got to Golden State than he did with the Wizards or the Bullets. But maybe, you know, maybe the video programmers put that in his game all the same. That would be just so kinds of crazy fun. I don't know. Put those two on the court together with Bernard King, John Wall, Earl Monroe. All right, I'll see what happens with that. Maybe you want to go really crazy, put Chris Webber at small forward because he liked to play on the perimeter anyway. So I don't know. This could be a lot of fun. In any event, hopefully, you know, maybe when we get closer to the season, somebody will tell me how that experience goes playing that, and you know, I've I wouldn't mind having some more conversations with folks on this topic. It's super silly, but super fun, and I used to take my video games very seriously, so I would definitely have been up in arms for real if this list had come out and some of my all-time favorites were not there that I couldn't use. For me personally, Bobby Dandridge, insulting that he's not in the game, but I don't know, maybe he didn't sign his contract to put his likeness in the game. We'll see. All right, and since I teased at the top, let me put in here a quick little interview I did with Thomas Robinson, former NBA lottery pick, former, was he National Player of the Year in Kansas, or at least an All-American, tremendous player at Kansas. He was in the 2012 draft with Bradley Beal. Because he's a local kid, I know there were definitely people who wanted the Wizards to take him. I did not think that was a good idea. Thomas Robinson's NBA career has not lived up to the hype. He's bounced around a bit. He's crazy athletic when you look at him. He's a pretty good rebounder even now on a permanent basis, but he just hasn't been able to put it all together. I was definitely not a proponent of the Wizards taking him and thought that his NBA career could be a little spottier than expected. There were some off the court concerns, but also his game just seemed a little bit raw, and it's all proven out to be that way. That said, he has been in the NBA. He's been, stuck around. He was at the Lakers, I believe, last year. So, and he's got the look. I mean, you can see why people believe that he can be a factor in this league. He just hasn't quite stuck to this point. In any event, he was there with Markieff Morris, two guys that went to the University of Kansas. I got a chance to catch up with him about where things are at with his career, why he was there with Markieff Morris, and so on. So here's a little bit of Thomas Robinson, NBA player, D.C. native and former college basketball All-American.
So just type it, start here. We're here with this event for Markieff Morris. Now, remind me, you guys play together in Kansas, or you came?
We play together in Kansas.
Okay, so.
I know, I grew up with some of his family members here in D.C. I met them prior before Kansas, so a long-time relationship there.
Okay, so yeah, so there's a bond here that you guys have. It's even just beyond. In fact, you both went to the same college.
Yeah, it's way beyond that. Consider him his family, vice versa. So it's been that way for years. So he has an event. I was in town, so I just made sure I showed up.
Yeah, it's a pretty impressive event. A lot of kids here.
Yeah, it is, man. It's pretty cool that you're doing this. It's a lot bigger than it was last year, which is great. So hopefully every year it just get bigger.
I was just asking Markieff if he remembers when he was a kid, the first time he met somebody like him, a famous athlete or celebrity or somebody, and what that moment was like. Does that ring? You grew up here?
Yeah, I think I met, first person I met was Chris Whitney when he played for the Wizards.
Sure.
But I was hyped. Like,
were you already taller than him at that point?
No, I was like 14 or so. But I remember Chris Whitney was definitely the first NBA player.
Yeah. Well,
I was sitting next to him in the bleachers at the AAU game. So it was cool. It was first time.
Nice. What's going on with you right now? You were with the Lakers last year.
Yeah. Right now I'm still a free agent. So right now I'm just trying to make sure we get the perfect situation for me. Playing wise, because I'm gonna be going into my sixth year. So I would need to get on the floor and get some time. So just making sure the right situation come along. And a lot of teams are one move away from actually talking to me seriously. So. We're going to see what happens these next couple of weeks and keep moving from there.
How do you feel things have gone for you the last couple of years? I know when you've had some chances to play for real minutes, per 36 numbers are really good, but it's just like getting that opportunity?
Yeah, it's just getting opportunity. That's the way the league works, though. I keep grinding out until I get my opportunity, and that's pretty much it. I won't stop until I get my opportunity. So, like I said, it's a grind, so you just got to keep at it.
How playing with the Lakers last year. Obviously, on the one hand, the Lakers are historically one of the biggest organizations in the league. Obviously, the last couple of years it's been different, but what was that like playing for that team? You still got still a big deal to play for the Lakers.
We was losing, it still was a bigger stage. So, like I said, people got to realize that, when I do play, I play well, and I think that I got a positive out of that, so it was cool for me. That was a good thing, and I enjoyed being in L.A. and playing with Coach Luke was amazing.
Any chance to think with them, or is it just
we don't know yet, man. We just see, like I said, we got to play everybody right now. Right now, I'm just in the gym and I'm just waiting on the call.
And then just lastly, somebody just asked Markieff, when he was with Phoenix, you've matured a lot since his days in Phoenix. I know for you, how do you feel when you look back now, you're 6 years removed, 6 years into the league? How do you think you've matured? How do you think you've changed? How would the 6-year-old ago you be think of you now?
Immature. I was really immature. I couldn't control my mouth. And basically off of being upset that I wasn't playing, that I didn't get an opportunity right away, you know, instead of going through the whole process. But if anything I could change, it would be me, you know, bickering and complaining about playing time as a young player. So I could tell my younger self that, I would definitely say that.
Would you actually want to ever play if the Wizards came calling? I mean, I know it's one of the like DC, some guys, like obviously KD didn't want to play, or some guys don't want to play at home.
I could deal with it, man. Plus I'm older now, I'm mature now, can't nobody get me in trouble. Like, so I love coming back home.
Cool. I appreciate it, man. Best of luck.
All right, there you have it. Thomas Robinson, DC guy. It would be a fun story for sure if somehow, you know, this one local kid came home to play for the Washington NBA team. I don't see that happening this season, at the very least. Obviously, the Wizards are already don't have any more room at the end on the roster right now. Yes, I mean, Sheldon Mack and Daniel Oshefu have light guarantees with their contract, but you know, I don't necessarily see Thomas Robinson jumping in over them. Also, you've got, you know, at power forward alone, you got Markieff Morris, you got Jason Smith. They signed Mike Scott. You know, they like to give minutes to Otto Porter and Kelly Oubre there. So, doesn't seem like the kind of situation where Robinson would fit in. But hey, if it's not this year, maybe it's some other time down the line. Who knows? Would be a good story indeed. Many thanks to Thomas Robinson for joining the Locked On Wizards podcast. Thanks to you guys, as always, for listening. You know what? Nobody more than the guy who has to host this podcast wishes that we'd get closer to training camp in the regular season, because, you know, it's more fun talking about getting engaged in topics and thinking about the season when the season's almost here. Not there yet, but we're getting closer. Training camp is not too far away at this point, so more to talk about when we get there. Cool? Alright, cool. I'll end it there. Thanks to you guys, as I said, for your listening, not just this episode, of course, but all the Locked On Wizards podcasts, which you can find on iTunes. Until next time, Ben Standick signing off. See ya.
Beal gets open for three. Dagger!
Old Prime, old Bella shot.
Dagger!